The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the app and sign up with code WMVP for participating offers. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Use promo code WMVP today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago, the new home of the Chicago Bears. WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, thank you to Black and Abdallah. As always, guys, will be on tonight after the White Sox game is over. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. And thanks to Kendall Gill for jumping on, talking Bulls with us for a few. We're back tomorrow, noon to 2. Caps in 2 to 3 today and 2 to 3 tomorrow with White Sox games. So you got the solo ride for a little bit here today.
I do. And I wanted to talk a little football with you guys.
We should. And, you know, we talked a lot about Ohio State's pro day. Ryan Poles is there.
8 members of the Bears are there.
Yeah, it's a pretty big contingent. Yeah. And they said there's like up to 120, I think, NFL personnel. They've got 3 guys that are going to get drafted in the first round. There's going to be a lot at Alabama's pro day tomorrow. I don't know if the Bears will be at that one. But obviously, but the one thing that's standing out, and just from some of the things that I've been seeing on Twitter and a few reports I've gotten, is just how impressive Paris Johnson has looked. I mean, he's so big, and they're saying, boy, like the way he moves and how physically gifted he is, how athletic he looks for a guy at his size has been, been very impressive to certain people in the NFL, including some of that Bears contingent, right?
Yeah,
now,
there's 8 of them there.
My God, he's really...
Chris Morgan,
really
the O-line coach. Alan Williams, the D-line coach. Poles, Eberflus, yep. Getsy.
Yep.
And then there's 3 scouts. There's 8 of them.
They got a lot of people.
And then
there.
They're going to Penn State and then down to Alabama.
So they are going to do Alabama? Are they? Are the Bears going out? Yeah. I was wondering, like, what's in play, really, for them?
You never
not
know.
Bryce Young, not... But I guess it's Alabama. You're right. They've got, you know, 6 guys that'll be drafted.
Right. So anyway,
they're going to have their choice between Skoronski and Johnson.
I don't think they take Skoronski. So I called Olin. Olin Kruetz.
My guy. 57.
Love him. And I said, let me ask you a question. Have you watched tape on all these guys, which he does? He said, yeah, I've watched all the linemen. He said, Skoronski, I keep hearing from a lot of people who never played the position. Oh, his arms are too short. Well, there's a guy who went up against those people in Yurko. I said, Olin, you played. Tell me about having shorter arms. He said, in his opinion, he said he soaks up blockers with his body as opposed to having the long arms to be able to get a rush guy on the edge out. But he said his footwork is sensational.
That's what Yurko said.
He said his feet are as good as I've seen in a long, long time.
Yurk said the same thing.
The problem, the dilemma is when you got a short arm guy out on the perimeter, say he was facing a Tim Harris type, is that Tim Harris is going to get to you. And before you can absorb or do anything,
soak him up, right?
He's going to, before you can soak him up, he's going to be by you.
He's going to be by.
And that's the problem you get. But they're very specific guys that you're going to have problems with. And it's the 6'5", 6'6", types.
Miles Garrett.
That got long arms that can get to you before you can ever get to them.
Exactly
what
Olin said.
You won't be allowed to soak those guys up. That's the problem.
These guys know what they're talking
about. At guard,
though, you don't
have that same issue.
Well, Yurk said the same thing about his feet. He goes, man, it jumps off the screen when you watch tape of him. He goes, his feet are phenomenal.
That's what Olin said.
And he's a one-arm puncher and a one-arm soaker, you know what I'm saying? Soak it up. So he punches with one arm and he soaks with one arm. So it's kind of like a combination, you know?
Rashawn Slater had smaller arms.
And he's pretty damn good.
Short arms. His arms are pretty big, but he's got short arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said he's got small arms. I go, no, he's got guns.
Short arms.
He's got real big guns.
Sorry.
But he's got short arms.
He's got shorter arms.
Long and short arms are what we're talking about.
Right, but I read a study that they went through that since Poles got promoted up in Kansas City, the type of running backs he took, the type of linemen he wanted. And that was one of the reasons they didn't make a run at Orlando Brown.
Well, they
that
wanted Orlando Brown.
His type of guy.
Hey, Paris Johnson's a monster, though, like Orlando Brown.
And the kid at Georgia, too.
Yeah.
Broderick Jones.
Listen, Cincinnati got themselves a hell of a football player.
Especially at that deal.
Right.
At that price.
So good for them. And geez, a good team needs to be better.
I know. And he's an upgrade over Jonah Williams. He is.
So, I mean, that's what they got. So good for Cincinnati. They're in the AFC. I'm not so concerned about them. I'm concerned about what's happening here. I worry about NFC teams. And it's wide open. So we'll see. I don't know. I told Carmen earlier today, I said, I'm looking at the house that's being erected by Ryan Pohl. It's got a nice roof on it. It's got some walls on it. It's got a couple arches in the windows. Then I look and I look for the foundation, and there's no foundation.
Exactly what someone else told me.
I'm like, what the hell's going on down
there? But it's the truth. I mean,
I see a hole. It's dug, but I got no reinforcement bar, and I got no foundation. So that's part of the process. It'll be in the draft.
Right, that's
maybe
it.
Maybe the secondary free agent market if you got to clean some things up. So we'll see.
It'll as Ryan said to us when Hoodie and I were in Indy.
Yeah.
He's like, look, it's going to take another free agency period and another draft after this year.
I get
then,
it.
But they won't be awful next year.
They shouldn't
That's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
If you plan on your quarterback improving at all and providing answers for you, it can't be awful again.
If it is,
it can't be
problem.
Three wins.
Well, if it is, you're going to get a quarterback.
Yes, you are. And that's the good thing. That's why Poles played this kind of beautifully. Like, they don't have to decide for another year. He got the extra draft pick, which means if they are awful, he has the ammunition to then, again, take another swing at a quarterback.
Yep.
And that could be Caleb Williams. So
or Drake May.
Or Drake May. That's true. I don't know. Can we stomach another North Carolina guy? What do you think, guys? Are we going to be able to handle it?
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm sort
You know
of
the story
sheep,
about Brett and I, my son, going to see a Carolina game about 3 weeks ago.
To see basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Brett's dream. He loves North Carolina. So I took him. We went to see Virginia at North Carolina. Brett, what do you want to do on Friday night for dinner? The game's Saturday night. He said, can we get a steak, Dad?
Yeah.
Yes. So I go on Google, best steakhouse in Chapel Hill. Honest to God.
Don't say it's the Mitch Trubisky Steakhouse.
So we find it. Bin 54. So I take an Uber. We go in. It's on 54th Street. Okay. We walk and we sit down. Guy come. The only table we could get, 5:45 in the afternoon. Place is packed. Okay. Guy walks up. He says, hey, first time here? Yeah, I'm the owner or the general manager. Okay. Where are you from? Chicago. Oh, are you a Bears fan? Yes. Big. He said, you see that room right there with the big heavy door?
Is that the room where they were in?
Oh. I said, yeah, what's in there? He said, that's where Mitchell Trubisky had Fox and Pace and your whole contingent in there.
That's the ill-fated room?
It's the room.
That's the one.
And I said, how was the meal? He said, it went well. Otherwise, Patrick Mahomes would be your quarterback. I'm like, God.
It looks good, Bin 54. 4.6 stars out of 3.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it looks good.
It was awesome.
Or Deshaun Watson.
Or Deshaun Watson. That's who Foxy wanted. Foxy wanted Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
So it would have been one of those two.
I forgot
to tell you, in my trip to Pinehurst, which was glorious, and we're talking about North Carolina, we're talking about Chapel Hill.
And Drake May maybe next year.
16 of our guys that went down there played Forest Creek. It's a country club down there.
In Chapel Hill?
Yeah. Pinehurst. So Southern Pines down there. Mm-hmm. So they went to a course named Forest Creek. It's a country club. They play with a member. They got him out there, hosted all the guys.
16 guys, wow.
Who happens to live out on the course?
Mitch Trubisky.
Roy Williams. The old basketball coach.
Brett and I took a picture with him.
Well, he's out and about.
Yeah?
Out and about. So he comes out and he sees golfers out there in the afternoon, which they don't get a ton of play at this time of the year, in the afternoon because it's cooler weather. They get out there, and Roy Williams is up on the lanai,
on the course?
Lives on the course at Forest Creek Country Club.
No kidding.
Very fancy, very beautiful homes.
Yeah?
I bet.
Well, very Roy nice Williams' home, I bet, is a pretty fancy
place. I wasn't there, but they told me the story.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And these were eight guys from Olympia Fields. They were all out there playing.
Very cool. Blah, blah, blah.
We had another eight from Lincolnshire Country Club. They're not accustomed, you know, to the fancy schmancy stuff. Like they are in Olympia, you know what I'm saying?
Olympia, they're used to it.
We've got a great club, Lincolnshire Country Club. We're fantastic.
Right.
Okay, but all the amenities we're not accustomed to.
Look at Roy Williams.
Yeah,
Roy looks good. Fella.
Me, Roy,
powdered
Brett.
Blue.
And then we're walking through.
It looks good.
Describe that to the audience, fellas.
A couple of the cheerleaders.
Gorgeous cheerleaders and my son.
Beautiful. Let me take a look. I'll be the judge.
Yes. Oh,
pretty beautiful.
It was pretty good. So, yeah, we had a great time out there. Great time.
That's a fun trip.
Yeah,
I would do that.
If you've never been to Carolina,
never.
I keep telling you guys, get to Pinehurst.
I've been to, I don't think I've ever
They're
been to
They're hosting the U.S.
Carolina.
Open, by the way.
You've never been to the state of North Carolina?
I don't
Number
think
two.
So. I've been in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
I said to my wife when I came, she goes, how was it? I said, can I put the marriage on pause for like a semester and go back to school?
Go to North Carolina? I don't think I've ever been to. I've never been to Charlotte. I've never been to Raleigh. I've never been to Myrtle Beach,
South Carolina.
That's South Carolina.
Well, I understand. I've been there.
I've been to Myrtle Beach.
Okay, yes. So you've been to South Carolina.
I've got a little bit of feel. I've been close when I was at.
You ever been to Georgia?
Driven through, but that's it.
I have.
Florida. Never spent like any Florida a lot. Yeah,
you've been to Orlando
a bunch. Orlando, Tampa, Miami.
Took the family to see the mouse.
Yes. Of course I've been all over Florida. Yeah,
of course you did. Miami, we're down there. We were in Miami together, weren't we?
We were in Miami once together. Maybe that. Twice. Once
when Brian Windhorst had to climb the stairs.
Yes.
Ooh, thank God. Thought I was going to have to bring the paddles out that day. But we're fine. We're good. And that's the same time when Scottie Pippen said, "No, I'm not coming."
No, we were in Indy. That was when we were in Indy.
That was in Indy. Yeah, we got Scottie.
What was the trip that you were on with Morrissey?
With Morris?
Jim Morris. Jim Morris? Rick Morris. In Vegas.
Oh, Rick Morrissey.
Rick Morrissey was Super Bowl in Dallas.
Super Bowl in Dallas.
Yeah. Mr. Excitement, Rick Morrissey.
Rick's a nice guy.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah. I don't think Rick could take our...
Canadian friends.
Yeah, we're a little rough around the edges, you know?
That's what makes it fun.
Some would say we lack a little bit of class.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it. And
Haw was fine. We were with David Haw at the same time.
Haw was with us.
Yeah.
But like Rick's a little older, and he's got a little bit more class than we do.
Mr. Personality couldn't take it.
And I think Rick had a hard time like just listening to our language and our dialogue over the course of an evening. Yeah. And yeah, he was very ready to retire from our group after dinner. He did not make it to the cigar bar for tequila and cigars.
No.
Oh, boy.
But purchased by Danny Zetterman. That cigar bar was outside as we were smoking those.
Do you know I went back there to Javier's when I was in Dallas for Bears and Cowboys? Yeah, place is great.
Yeah.
Great. The food's great. It's always a...
You took the kids, right?
No. I've been to Javier's.
It's great. Did you go with Faith Bailey up there?
I have family down there.
Bailey was not with us that night.
She wasn't with us that night.
No.
Scrambling.
Yes, poor Bailey was scrambling as we were getting thrown out of our hotel room.
Jacob Cantu. Yeah.
Do you remember the night in Arizona? That guy let us down. He went back to bed, and we ran into Romo.
Oh, yeah.
In the district.
I got out of Dodge.
Bottled and Blonde? Is that where that was?
You guys got out of Mission.
Yeah, yeah.
You walked right down the street.
We did.
To a local establishment.
The district area.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw Romo. Romo was in there. He was still playing back then.
He was there with who?
I don't know. Looked like buddies. Looked like he was hanging out with buddies.
It was a good-looking crowd.
It was March.
Who are the golfing guys that play out of Olympia and a bunch of different places that went to Eastern with him? I can't remember the brother's name.
I don't know.
Oh, they're all good golfers here.
He was with buddies. You could tell he was just having a good time with friends.
I can't pull their names. And
drinking
I'm upset
at the bar.
About
we were wishing you were there because it would have been a good in for us. Hey.
I'd have gone up and said hello.
Yeah, he know you, right?
How you doing?
He'd know
if I said, "Hey, Jericho."
That's what I mean.
Eastern, obviously. Yes, yeah, okay. He'd have to pay homage.
My father-in-law is just telling you guys.
Absolutely.
My father-in-law is in the Eastern Illinois Hall of Fame, and he.
So is Jericho. Right?
I know he likes Jericho. Yeah. He's like. He's a Panther.
Yeah, that's right, baby.
Damn right I am.
That's it.
A lot of good athletes for me. My
father was a wrestler.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
A grappler.
Did you like WBC? Did you watch it last night?
I watched one game the whole tournament.
Was it last night?
Last night.
It was great.
The tournament was fun. The top of the first a week ago when they scored 9 runs.
Against?
Is that Mexico?
No. Who was that against? It wasn't Mexico. Was that the Cuba game? Might have been the game against Cuba.
I can't remember. But I watched that top of the first. I'm like, I'm out, 9-0. I watched last night's game, bet Team USA, and lost it.
Yeah, that's no good. You bet anybody hitting a homer?
I did not.
Schwarbaum. You didn't bet Schwarber? Guys next to me did, and they celebrated when he hit the homer.
Well, how much what were his odds?
They went crazy. It was like plus 400.
That's pretty good. I'm
plus
surprised
four,
it was that
maybe
high.
380, something like that.
The best home run bet I didn't make, Waddle made it, was at the World Series in 16.
Well, it didn't turn out to be the best. But.
Game one, Waddle has $100 at 40-1.
It's still on Mellor's Twitter timeline.
And Schwarber turns and hits it off the top of the wall for a double.
I'm sitting next to Waddle. It's like in the row. It's like Waddle, me, Mellor. And Jeff had the sense to get his phone out and start taping it. And when he hit it, I thought it was out. I think we all did. And obviously, if you go on Mellor's timeline, you can see it. It's still on there.
I just love Waddle's reaction.
His reaction is priceless.
Biting his lip.
We all thought it was out.
Because it was 40-1. That payoff was 40-1. First player to homer in the World Series.
And it hit the top of the wall, and we were like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And Waddle's reaction is priceless. The whole thing's on video on Mellor's time.
What were your odds on getting Devin Hester?
40-1. Never bet it like a jackass. even though I told everybody all week to make that wager. Back then, it was a lot harder. In 06, there was no legalized sports gambling.
You had an offshore company I thought you were working with.
There were no, not back then.
Okay.
You still had to have a guy. You had to have a bookie. You couldn't even do illegal offshore betting. I probably started using an offline and illegal,
2010.
Yeah, maybe 2010-ish.
Right.
Give or take. Not in 2006. And so it wasn't as easy as like punching it up on your phone. And I'll never forget, like I gave it out all week. I said, this is a bet that needs to be made. If the Bears win the coin, back then you didn't defer. I said, if the Bears won the toss, just think. Hester could take it back, and then I like had texted my bookie, and he's like, I can't give you 40 to 1. He was going to give me like 32 to 1, I think, whatever the hell it was. And I said, okay, I'll probably make it. Instead of giving me a 20 on it right now, I never made the bet.
Wow.
And I always regret not putting just $100 on it.
I got to name Romo's buddies that he went to school with, and he had a buddy, Finnan. The Flying Finnan Brothers.
I don't know that.
They all play golf in the Chicagoland area, and they're all good.
The Finnans Brothers.
There's like John Chuck. There's 75 of them. And they all play golf, and they're all like sixes or better.
Like Romo.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes me
so
sick.
That's the way that works. Just remember. So he's probably with a couple of them guys.
Maybe. I don't know.
In Arizona. And you guys, did you go up to
Romo? No, we didn't.
He was cornered off in the back.
Yeah, he was like in the back.
He was on the other side of the bar from us.
We didn't mess with him. If you had been there, we'd
say. That's what he said.
We'd go over there right now.
I said, dude, we got another show tomorrow. Let's get Romo. He's like, we called you.
I've been to Bottled Blonde.
That's where we were.
I know, a handful of times.
Bottled Blonde.
And then the place across the street.
I think we're at Bottled Blonde. I think we are.
I mean, you got to be ready. You got to make a commitment.
He's like, I'm in bed, kid. I think he's like, I'm going to bed.
I was already there.
Yeah.
You were in bed when we called.
Yeah.
We need another spring training trip.
Boy,
it's been too long, man.
Down. Thought we were going this year.
It's been too long.
I said to Danny, get an Airbnb or a VRBO. Well, you got the waste management, the Super Bowl, and the spring training.
Your dilemma is that both your baseball teams aren't really...
They're not that close.
The projections that you're looking at for these teams
I thought you meant they're not that...
No, I'm saying the projections are looking for very average years. Yeah. I mean, if both teams went 81 and 81, I think you'd take it, right?
Would you be happy with that?
81 and 81?
I would for the Cubs. I wouldn't for the White Sox.
No, they should win
86, 87, 88 games.
It's not their number in Vegas.
It's 84. And I told him, he's not really a friend. He's more of just an acquaintance. But he's a finance guy that left the finance world because he had a lot of money and he's a gambler and he is part of a big betting syndicate. And their biggest position, he told me, was White Sox under. They're like
White Sox
the easiest
under.
No-brainer of the offseason for them.
Wow. White Sox under.
Because like, their projection had the White Sox winning like 77, and when the lines came out, they hammered it.
What's the line?
84.
Oh God!
Yeah,
he's like,
when these guys bet big, that's a six figure bet. I mean, yeah. I said, I hope you're wrong. He goes, I know you do. He goes,
hundreds of thousands.
I was just talking to my buddy.
I really hope you're wrong.
My buddy Guff, who's the biggest, head of Sox content at NBC. I think he told me Sports Illustrated, one of the reputable ones, has the Sox winning 91 games.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
That'll have Rick Hahn smiling.
That's surprising. I don't know, man. I'm trying to be optimistic, and I don't know if I can get to 91. I just don't. No more shifting is not good for them because they're not a good defensive team. The bigger bases, how much has it really helped them? They don't run well. I don't know.
So do you think they should get rid of the pitch clock in the postseason?
No.
I do not either.
I don't. I know that was like bandied around, I guess, for a little bit, right?
Because they're talking about it today.
WBC.
God, you love those four-hour games. Come on.
I love those in October, November.
I love November baseball.
I think you do this. This is the new norm. You establish it. I think you keep it. And after the little blurb yesterday that they're going to make some changes. We got, like, Passan and some others got to the bottom of it today. I mean, it's really, they're not changing the mechanism of the clock or the timing. They're not. They tweaked a few other things, like...
I thought they're going to go from 20 to 22 with men on base.
I don't think so. Doesn't look like it. According to the memo that Passan and others have obtained, sent by the league to the teams... they're going to continue with the parameters of the pitch clock that players have been using all spring. 15 seconds with the bases empty, 20 seconds with runners on, plus the hitter needs to be alert, quote-unquote, in the batter's box with 8 seconds remaining.
When we had Theo on, he said, these are not recommendations.
Right.
He said, I can promise you, we're not going to eat in June. All right. You can relax now.
Good.
This is going to be the way it is.
We referenced that yesterday when he told you guys that. That's good.
Yeah.
You're making changes that you think are going to be beneficial. You think it's going to help. You can't change 3 months in. Play it out. Guys will adjust. They'll get used to it. This 10 years from now, we won't even think twice about it, is my guess. It's just going to be the way it is. Maybe 3 years from now. And the game needs something to speed it back up.
It does.
And I think this is going to help.
I love baseball.
I do too.
But there are other people that they need to be intrigued again.
Even me, someone as loves it as much as I do, I still like the idea that they're going to kind of start speeding the game up. I don't want to sit around and watch a four-hour baseball game. I'm sorry. Well, I don't.
How old are your kids? By the way, happy birthday to your daughter today.
Thank you.
I know I saw the post
Gio's
the other day.
Sunday.
Gio's, yeah.
He's 11. They don't. They watch. I brought two of his buddies over after baseball practice last night. They watched maybe 7 minutes of the game, and then they went back outside and they were shooting hoops. They're 11. You got to remember what it's like.
Yeah.
For them, it's, let's go play basketball.
Right. They're not going to sit and
watch. No, they're not going to sit.
Did you call him in for the final at bat or the final inning?
At that point, they were doing some other stuff, and every time Turner was up or Shohei came up, they sort of stopped and they'd watch that. But he was sort of half watching at that point.
Because that last inning was pretty spectacular. The bottom half was pretty spectacular.
It's crazy.
If you're a baseball
fan. The way it ended, I mean, it was just, and Shohei is, I don't know, what can you say about the guy? He's just amazing.
He's something.
Everything he does.
He is something.
He's so good. I never would have envisioned that. Mellor and I were talking about this earlier, that he would have been this dominant at both.
My God.
Never could have imagined.
Like, if you're, like, the Cubs spent good money this year. They spent $300 million in the offseason. If you're Ricketts and you're really trying to win, Theo will tell you he thought they had Ohtani. He said
him.
If there was a DH, we had him.
Yep.
Now you have that.
Yep.
If you're Jed and you go to your owner and go, I can get that kid. I need $500 million. You got to do it.
I mean, it's always easy for us. We're not the ones writing the check. If I were a billionaire, I'd like to think I would. Now, an owner might say, well, why do I want to pay the Trout and Ohtani are the two best players in the game and they can't make the playoffs? Why would I pay it?
Well, that's not the player's fault. That's the organization.
Of course not. But I could see an owner saying, like, why are we investing? You know, it's not having the best basketball player. It's not having the best quarterback. Why are we paying $500 million to a guy that, and of course, I don't mean to suggest it's his fault. It's not, but it's just baseball. The owner could say, well, why would I spend that on one player? They can't make the playoffs anyway. Invest it.
Here's the thing, though. He's not only is he the unicorn and he's the novelty act of pitcher and hitter, but in addition, he's an international superstar.
Yeah.
And you're underwriting whatever contract you eventually end up giving him. You're getting at least, I'm not even exaggerating, minimum $10 million a year in sponsorship deals.
More than that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking minimum, though.
Does he speak English?
Yes, he does. But he always interviews through an
because
interpreter.
Because he's not comfortable doing the interview.
And the other day, Rosenthal asked him a question, and the interpreter couldn't hear it because it was so loud. But Shohei kind of shook him off like, I understood it.
Okay. Because that is an important factor in terms of like how are going to be a pitch man.
But it's not even about a pitch man, though. But like the international revenue, the streams you open up as an organization.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The jersey sales.
By having him on your team. But the jersey sales. But then all of a sudden, think about in Japan and other Asian countries that think of him as a superhero. You're now their brand as a baseball team.
Yep.
And I don't think you can quantify that. Like, that's why I think the Dodgers, Mets, and Yankees, we're saying half a billion easy, dude.
Right. Easy.
Yeah, it is Japan's pastime, you know.
I know. Yuriko says it's Japan's pastime. All right, what's coming up on the show, Cap?
So we're going to talk some of the baseball and a little bit about Ryan Poles being at these pro days. And Marvin Harrison agreed to catch passes for C.J. Stroud today. And they said everybody there is drooling.
And watching
like,
Marvin Harrison.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course.
That's the guy.
Got to wait a year.
That's who I want.
I know. I heard you saying that.
You guys have a great day.
All right. See you, Cap. We'll see you tomorrow. Cap's next. Then it's the White Sox at 3. Have a great day.
Consider yourself a bourbon connoisseur? At Twin Peaks, they are proud to offer an exclusive and extensive collection of some incredibly rare bourbons, whiskeys, and tequilas. Plus, check out their barrel selects, where they are hand-picked by their team and bottled just for you. Or maybe you're just there in the mood for a savory lunch. Twin Peaks has light yet hearty combos put together for you starting at just $7.99. Enjoy savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch with Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
He throws. Trout strikes out swinging.
Championship. That highlight, courtesy of the fine folks at FS1. Team USA goes down to Japan. They win the World Baseball Classic. Welcome in on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan in for Waddle and Sylvie. They did the morning show today. And tomorrow I'll take you up to White Sox baseball at the top of the hour. Tyler Aki, Jeff Meller are here with me. Okay, so I watched my first full WBC game. And I'm a baseball guy. But it's March Madness is going on. NCAA tournament, NBA, I'm watching the Bulls. It's not my, like, at the top of my list. But last night was pretty freaking cool. And it might have been, we haven't seen the ratings yet, but they're saying it might be the most watched baseball game in the history of the sport.
We haven't seen any final numbers come in, but I think based on all the televisions across the world, that's a pretty easy guess. They're not going to be surprised when the numbers come in and it becomes the, which is interesting to think about because that moment, Ohtani striking out Trout, you know, I don't know if people have totally realized the gravity of worldwide, the impact that that's going to have on people.
It was awesome. I'm watching that at bat, and as he got ready for the last pitch, I'm thinking, here comes 102, and he threw a breaking ball. See you later. That was awesome.
Watching that at bat, too, like, I don't even know what I thought was going to happen. And just the theater that it led up to that, too, I almost think the double play beforehand helped the gravity of the moment as well, because the U.S. was technically the away team. Mm-hmm. So even if Trout had hit a home run, the Japanese team was still going to have a chance to bat in the bottom half. But it was Trout versus Ohtani, and that at bat meant everything. And you knew it was either going to be the final out of the game or Trout was going to do something spectacular. Like, the ball was leaving the park. One of the two was going to happen. And even though the U.S. is on the short end of it, that was one of the great international moments, I think, in this country's history from a sports standpoint. Not the greatest. I think that's still
Team USA beating the Russians.
Yeah. Yes. But this has got to be in the team picture or on the podium.
Okay, but see, I don't understand the players who are coming out going, oh, this is way bigger than the World Series. Really?
That shocked me too. Yeah.
Me as a baseball fan, I couldn't disagree more. Now, again, they're entitled to their opinion. I'm not telling them what they should believe. It just shocked me.
We need, like, for Trout and Ohtani, who have been wasting away in Anaheim with the Angels, it comes as no surprise for them to say, hey, these are the greatest games we've ever played.
Well, yeah, because you've never played in anything bigger.
Trying to think, though, like, someone needs to, Kyle Schwarber, he's been in a couple World Series playing in them, right?
Right.
Has he come out and said that the WBC is a bigger event? I think you need, like, Kyle Tucker won the World Series last year with the Astros. I'm trying to see. I need somebody who was playing in a big World Series to come out and say.
Right. Like, if somebody from Team USA, like Schwarber, he was in 108 years of insanity, and he was in that game, and the Cubs won, to have him go, this was bigger?
Two giant moments in two of the most watched baseball games of all time. Like, you go back to that game 7, and then you go back to last night. He got the home run last night. I mean, a absolute nuke.
And
off
the hit
of,
in the 10th in game 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's had big magnitude moments in both. And I would be curious to see what his answer is.
Okay, so I have a question. We don't ever, ever see the GOAT in a sport. I'm talking about the absolute greatest in their prime get to free agency. We just don't. Michael Jordan didn't. And Tom Brady didn't until he was like 43 years of age. Is Shohei Ohtani A, the greatest baseball player to ever play the sport? I used to think that was an idiotic question. Having watched him once he came here, seeing him last night, like, might be. And if you're Tom Ricketts, like, the White Sox are not going to spend $500 million on a player. They're just not. The Cubs have kept their powder dry, so to speak. They spent some this year. Wrigleyville, Theo will tell you, we thought we had him when he went to the Angels, but there was no DH in the National League then. If I'm Tom Ricketts and my team plays reasonably well this year, like, they're ready to take the next step. Jed, here's my checkbook. If he picks someone else, fine. You're not getting outbid. It's the Cubs. It's Wrigleyville. You got nothing but streams of money. And you don't have bad contracts on your books. None. They don't have one bad contract. I would tell my GM, here you go. Here's my checkbook. Just tell me when you need me to sign it. Fill it in for whatever it takes. If we get beat because he says, I want to be a Angel or a Dodger or a Yankee or a I get it. But we're not getting outbid. Am I wrong? I'm spending someone else's money.
Can the Cubs, though, you say that, and I get it. I think it's the smart play if you're not just an owner of a baseball team, but like as a businessman, again, talking about the revenue streams you're opening up internationally that are not available to any other player. You know, that's the unique aspect that Shohei Ohtani brings as a free agent. Mm-hmm. And think about, so Aaron Judge, this past offseason cap, got 9 years for $360 million. So he's got an AAV of 40 per year.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best hitter in baseball right now.
Yeah, no question.
Shohei's somewhere, he's not as good as Judge, but he's one of the top 10 hitters in baseball, I think.
No doubt.
And
he's one of the top 10 pitchers.
Yes, and that's the key. And Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, they're all making in the neighborhood between 35 and 40 per season.
Okay, so if I said I'm going to pay you as a number one starter $25 million a year, and mm-hmm. I'm going to give you another $25 for being a top 10 hitter.
It's a bargain. Like, yeah. Think about it that way. It is a bargain to get him at 50 per year.
So what if I said he's 20? How old is he?
28.
Okay, and when's he turn 29?
This is his age 28 season, I believe.
Okay, so if I came to him and said, okay, we're going to, whatever you want, we'll build everything around you. There is a large Japanese population here. We are going to make you the face of this franchise. 8 years, $400 million. What do you think he says?
I mean, I think
$50 million a year.
He's going to say, what are the Mets offering? What are the Yankees offering? What are the Dodgers offering?
Is he truly going to be all about the last dollar or the best situation for him? That's a great question.
Can the Cubs make the argument that the best situation? I think that's the hard part.
Look what Steve Cohen is doing in New York right now. There's all the stories coming out now about what he's doing to get Edwin Diaz ready, and he is moving mountains to make sure he might actually have a chance to return at the end of the season. Like
hired a masseuse. Right. A training staff, a chef to live at his house, like all of it.
If you're a player and you. Money is no object for Steve Cohen. Like, why would you not go there? What if you are a big ticket free agent, why would you not want to go play for the New York Mets?
Unless you're not a fan of New York.
Right. Yes. He may go, New York's not my jam.
Now, that's where the Dodgers being in play makes it a problem for the Cubs, too, though, because we know they have deep pockets. They didn't go crazy this offseason. A lot of people think that's because they have their eye on Ohtani free agency next year. So you're also going to have to compete with the Dodgers. And he knows California and the city of Los Angeles pretty well, having lived and played there for the Angels. Do you think the Cubs have a chance, Cap, to pull this off?
If they truly, as Theo has said, finished second the last time, they'll be in the discussion. Somebody who was in the room for the pitch took me through what they did. He said they spent tens of thousands of dollars creating this virtual reality deal where they said Ohtani literally put these goggles on, and it took him from sitting at his locker in the locker room through the tunnel out to the field where he took batting practice, that he was in the batter's box, that he was on the mound, Wrigley's going. They said, you can't imagine what that cost and how cool it was.
Think, too, about what you're paying for exactly here. You are paying for an MVP-caliber bat. You're paying for a Cy Young-caliber arm.
Right.
And you're paying for a roster spot, too, because he has the ability to do both. So that opens up an extra roster spot, essentially, for you as well. And here's the thing is you can say, oh, okay, maybe the arm goes at a certain point and he's not that good of a pitcher anymore.
He can still hit.
He can still hit for you. So the contract is going to age pretty well for you, all things considered.
Okay, so at what number do these owners blink? Like, does Steve Cohen go, the Cubs are at 8 times 50?
I don't think Steve Cohen blinks ever.
I'm at 8 times 60. Have at it. Take that.
The only time we've seen Steve Cohen actually balk at anything is Carlos Correa failing a physical. At this point, that's the only thing that has shown us anything that Cohen's reluctant to spend on. What he might deem a bad aging investment.
Wow.
Listen, Cap, I hope you're right, because to see him in this city playing 81 home dates would be awesome.
Can you imagine, like, a Friday afternoon, people going, I'm out of work, I gotta go.
Listen,
Ohtani's pitching.
I'm an American citizen, but I got wrapped up in watching Ohtani's brilliance last night. I couldn't be mad. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like,
I get it.
I was like, I wanted the U.S. to win, but watching Ohtani do that is pretty cool.
It was incredible. So that's my question. Is he the greatest baseball player ever? Ever. Like, you could say what you want, and I loved reading. I never got to see him. I loved watching Babe Ruth. There's some black and white highlights, and he had more home runs himself than all the other teams. He was amazing. He was not competing against all the best players because there were no African-American players. He wasn't facing the best of the best. So, yes, he was amazing.
He also stopped doing both at the same time eventually.
He
was never a pitcher and a hitter the way Ohtani is.
Correct. Barry Bonds, I'm not a fan of. I had a run-in with him. I don't like the guy. He was an amazing baseball player. Roids or no roids. Amazing player. I think Ohtani's the best player of all time. He's better than Mike. If I told you you can have one angel, who are you taking?
Ohtani.
Yes, no question.
No question.
Yeah. And think about that. I don't think anybody would have had the realistic expectation that that could be the end result of where Ohtani's at when he came over, with as good as Mike Trout. Mike Trout's been the best player for a decade.
Yeah.
And now Ohtani takes over. He has over the last year or so.
And the amazing thing is, if you had the number one pick in the draft, Mike Trout was never even on your board. He went like 20-some. You never know. All right, 312-332-3776. We're taking you up to White Sox, Royals, then Bleck and Abdallah. Watch us on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. I'm in for Waddle and Sylvie. They actually work the morning show today, and they'll get up early and do it again tomorrow. So I am here today, 2 to 3, and tomorrow. 2-3. 312-332-3776. Is Ohtani the best player ever? Be right back.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
I was just thinking about all the people around the world watching a game like this. It never usually plays out like that. And I was just saying, I just wanted the leadoff hitter on. We couldn't ask. Jeff works that nasty walk, and then we have two of the best players in the game back-to-back going against Ohtani with Goldie behind him. I felt confident. I really did. So. But I was well aware. I was like, wow, the baseball world's going to win tonight, regardless.
Waddle and Sylvie. They did the morning show today. They'll do it again tomorrow. And I'll be here from 2 until 3. Big anniversary party at House of Blues on Friday. So an awesome, awesome week here for our family and for all of you at ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki is the EP here. Jeff Meller is at the controls. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. So last night, that was the only full WBC game I watched. I was way more locked in on college basketball and NBA basketball. But last night, 6 o'clock, sitting down, and I enjoyed it. It was cool to watch the end. And here's how it sounded on the Japanese broadcast, and it was a huge deal in that country. I mean, they were, I went online and started reading about how big this was to that country. It was off the charts. And it was really cool to watch. And we'll always remember Ohtani against Trout. I don't know if you guys saw the, what's the difference between a meme and a GIF?
A GIF is animated and moves.
And a meme is just a picture. Okay, yeah. This was a picture.
All right,
of
so
like
a meme.
A trailer home. With two Lamborghinis parked in the carport and the trailer home.
Yeah.
And that was Ohtani, Trout, and the Angels.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's a good one.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was a lot of fun to watch. And then Team Japan got their medals, and they held up the medal and Seiya Suzuki's jersey. He was number 51 for Team Japan. He's injured with an oblique, and they held it up because they missed their guy. So it was cool. It was really cool to see. I'm glad I watched it.
Seiya was the Japanese version of, remember when the Sox hung up Eloy's jersey?
Yes, correct. Correct. Or when the Cubs were in the 03, I think, Sano was out with an illness, and they had Sano's jersey. Kerry Wood would hang it in the dugout.
Is that okay for Seiya to have the last name Suzuki and wear 51? Because we were watching it last night, me and my buddies. We didn't realize that was, we thought it was for Ichiro.
That's what I thought.
Something commemorative just for being such an influence on all those guys.
That's exactly what I thought. I said to my wife, is that, why would they have an Ichiro jersey? Oh, it's Seiya's jersey.
I totally had blanked that Seiya wasn't participating because of the injury.
Right, because of the oblique.
But didn't Ichiro always have Ichiro on the back of his jersey?
He did.
So, yeah, there's your giveaway.
Suzuki.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Tyler, I didn't even think of it. I thought, must be because Ichiro is like the greatest Japanese player ever.
You would think 51 would be a number that Team Japan would not allow, you wouldn't be allowed to wear it.
You want to give Ichiro the Jackie Robinson treatment in Japan there, Tyler?
Yeah.
That's it.
Like
Ichiro Day.
Yeah. Like he kind of paved the way. He's probably a big reason why a lot of these guys play baseball.
It's crazy. Let's get Jeff in West Chicago. Hey, Jeff, what's up, Sparky? Jeff. All right, Jeff's gone. Jeff wanted to talk about World Series versus WBC. Again, it was fun to watch. I'll remember that matchup at the final out. But these guys, like, their whole life is to get to the big leagues, to Major League Baseball. Even when they leave Japan, they come here to get their riches and to play against the very best. And we've got guys going, oh, this was way bigger.
I will be curious to see if Ohtani, next year free agency, if he goes somewhere else and he actually does one day win a World Series. I won't be surprised if he looks back and says winning the WBC for Japan was the biggest moment of his career. That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if it'll change.
Okay, what if Trey Turner came out and said, winning the WBC, had they won?
Yeah.
It was the biggest thing in my career.
Well, I mean, he's already called it the best crowd he's ever, crowd that he's ever seen. And he also called his Grand Slam the biggest hit of his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost saying it without saying it, isn't it?
a hell of a Trey Turner's a hell of a player, man. The Phillies got a great one. He's really
and he's
really
won a World Series.
He has with the Dodgers in the bubble, right? Or was that with
the Nats? Wait, he won with the Nats. So did he win two? He's won two. The Nats and the Dodgers.
How about that?
No, because Seager was MVP. So
Turner, he just won the one with the Nationals.
But, just the Nationals.
But he called his Grand Slam the biggest hit of his career.
Crazy. Mm. Well, it was a lot of fun to watch. That's going to wrap it up for us. White Sox and Royals are coming up next. And then you've got Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, 6 to 8. Watch us every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 1000 Chicago. See ya.